Matthew chapter 1 is what we'll be looking at. As you turn there, here's a quote that I heard recently, or read, came across recently. Christ died. That is history. Christ died for our sins. That is doctrine. Without these two elements, joined in an absolutely indissoluble union, there is no Christianity. Those words, if you've never heard them before, they were written 100 years ago by J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Theological Seminary and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the U.S. It's a very simple, but it's a profound statement encapsulating the truth of the Christianity. But since this evening we're focusing upon Christ and upon the incarnation, upon this Advent season, and rightly so, I'm going to wrap Machen's statement with some Christmas wrapping paper, if you will. And here it goes. Christ was born. That is history. Christ was born to save us from our sins. That is theology. Without these two elements of both history and theology, there is no Christmas. There is no Christianity. So where do we find that explanation? We find it in Matthew chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, for the remainder of my time with you, I'd like to share some brief reflections on Matthew 1, 21, verse 21. And we're going to look at it in three parts, the three phrases of that verse. She will give birth to a son, number one. Number two, you are to give him the name Jesus. And then thirdly and finally, because he will save his people from their sins. Number one, she will give birth to a son. Now, I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have heard the Christmas story many times over and over. But let us not lose sight of the wonder and the majesty of what's going on here. Mary was a virgin. She was a young lady, and she had not known a man. Though she was engaged to Joseph, she had not yet consummated their relationship because she was honoring the Lord. Now, for this young lady to conceive a child, it is truly MI, mission impossible. But by God's stupendous promises and his sovereign power, Mary would conceive and give birth to a son. And all of this would happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of this, rewind a little bit, was in fulfillment of the Old Testament, of Isaiah 7:14 most particularly. And if you're wondering, how should you read the Bible? How should you understand the Bible? Here's a pretty simple grid by which you can understand and read it. God makes promises. God keeps his promises. It's as simple as that. God makes promises. He keeps them. Promises made. Promises kept. But hear this closely. The crux of Christmas is a miracle. We celebrate Christmas because of the divine sovereign hand of God intervening into the ordinary lives of people. The hope, stated differently, the hope and joy of Christmas, it will vanish if God Almighty does not intervene in with this impossible miracle that is about to take place. And dear friends, for those of you here this evening, just as Christmas hinges upon a miracle, the miracle of a virgin giving birth to a son, so all of Christianity rests upon a miracle. And understand, the Bible is not essentially a collection of good suggestions and wise sayings. The Bible is an account of the eternal Lord intervening in earthly lives. Time and time again, when you read Genesis to Revelation, when you come across barrenness, we see God bringing forth life. When you see shame, we see God speak a word of hope. When you see despair, we see the Lord delivering. In Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas, it is especially comforting and especially unique for you and I, because not only does God give life, not only does God intervene, not only does God speak through the angels, not only does he deliver his people, the miracle of Christmas is found in that God comes to us as a little baby in the womb. She will give birth to a son. The second phrase, you were to give him the name Jesus. Now, do you know Jesus' actual name? The way that they said it most likely back in the day, in the first century. So if you don't, follow this linguistic chain for a moment. The New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And in Greek, Jesus' name is Iesus. That's how you say it in Greek, Iesus. But Iesus didn't come out of nowhere. Iesus is actually a Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Yeshua. So more likely than not, in the first century, when the angel was actually stating these words to Mary and Joseph and the family, the actual words that would have been heard by the humans was most likely Yeshua. And if that sounds semi-familiar to you, I hope it does, Yeshua is where we get the English word Joshua. So technically speaking, the name that the angel spoke was Yeshua. And Jesus is simply the English translation of that word. Now, why do I mention all of that? Because the name Yeshua means Yahweh saves, or the Lord is salvation. So when the angel is saying, this little baby, you are going to name him Jesus, what the angel is saying is, this little baby's name is the Lord saves. The Lord is salvation. In other words, salvation is inherently packed into who Jesus is. And of all the many titles that you can assign to Jesus, whether it be King, Messiah, Christ, Lord, all of these good titles, the title that the Father chose to use to reveal his own Son was the Lord saves. Yahweh saves. The Lord is salvation. And that very next phrase attests to this. So Jesus is the Savior. And look at the very next phrase, the last phrase. Because he will save his people from their sins. And dear friends, this is why Jesus came into the world. This is a one-sentence summary of why Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago. And this verse, he came because he will save his people from their sins, this gives us a reminder about what our greatest problem is in life. The greatest problem that you and I face is not physical sickness, as grueling as it can be. It is not financial worries and woes. It is not even socio-political problems. And it's not even discord amongst humanity. The greatest problem that you and I face is spiritual, and it is moral. It is the problem of sin. Now, what is sin? Sin is falling short of God's glory. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is falling short of God's glory. Sin is missing the mark. It's falling short of God's perfect standards of righteousness and holiness. And this is problematic because, as Scripture says, the end result of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The curse of sin is eternal death. But dear friends, Jesus entered the world to save us, to deliver us from the pit of hell, to give us hope, and to deliver us, to rescue us, to save us from eternal damnation. That's why Jesus entered the world in the first place. Stated differently, Jesus came into the world to reconcile us to the Father. But keep this in mind. When Jesus entered the world as a little tiny baby, as a little embryo to begin with, he did not execute the plan of salvation instantaneously. But rather, as one pastor put it, I like this, when Jesus entered the world, he put sin and death on notice. If you could think of it, through the cries and the squirms of baby Yeshua, in a sense, Jesus was saying to sin and death, your days are numbered. I'm going to take care of you very soon. And dear friends, because of Jesus, because of his entire life, not only because he was born, but because of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and even his ascension, because of all the components of his life, Jesus offers all of us hope, forgiveness, joy, and peace. And this gift of Christmas, is offered to all of us, but there's one condition. You have to receive this gift with faith, with a heart that says, God, thank you. God, I believe in you. And God, I want to follow you. I commit my life to you. I entrust my life to you. I've been listening to my own heart. I've been listening to my spouse. I've been listening to what the world is telling me to do. But Lord, above all, I want to listen to you. That's the essence of faith. This disposition of repentance, of humility, of genuineness, of saying, Lord, I want to follow you. And if you've done that, if you are a Christian, if you have done that in your life, that means that you and I have an everlasting hope that can carry us through the Christmas season. Right? Let's not neglect and overlook the fact that Christmas can be a very stressful time of the year. It can be a very sad, depressing time of the year, frankly. But the hope of Christmas is that in the midst of all the exhaustion, the frustration, the disappointment, the loss, all of the things that you might face in life, we have an everlasting hope that can hold us and carry us throughout it all. And if, dear friend, if you have not received Christ as Lord, if you have not received this gift of faith by responding to him in repentance, then now please listen to me. It does not matter what presents are under your tree right now. It does not matter who's coming over tomorrow for the meal. What matters most of all is if you've trusted in Christ and if you follow him faithfully. And then if you've done that, all those other things will fall into place in God's due time. So, dear friends, we end where we began. Christ was born. That is history. Christ was born to save us from our sins. That is doctrine. Without these two elements of both history and theology, there is no Christmas, there is no Christianity. But because he was born to save us from our sins, the wonder and the hope of Christmas gives us all the reason to celebrate. Let us pray, and then we'll continue to worship the Lord through song. Our Father, help us to not lose the wonder and the majesty of Christmas by focusing on the things of this world. Captivate us with your beauty. Compel us with your glory. And please help us to live a life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.